This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Build Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We've got our Giants Turning Point contest this hour for tickets against the Eagles this week, October 20th, the game that we all will be calling. Jerry on play-by-play, Boomer and Phil with the color analysis, and then me on the sideline. So, Phil, promo code Phil.
Phil, I do it.
So he will be doing it up in the booth with Boomer and Jerry. I do it. So, that'll be a lot of fun. So you can win tickets to Giants-Eagles with the Giants Turning Point Contest a little bit later this hour. All right, let's get into some calls, some reaction from what happened with the Mets and the Giants and everything else that's going on here in New York sports as we turn the page, as Boomer's been saying all morning long, to a huge day that starts with the Mets at 4, the Yankees at 7:30, and then the Jets and Bills at 8:15. Let's go to Austin in Rockaway. What's going on, Austin?
Good morning, guys. Let's start off saying let's go Mets.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm at the Giants game last night. It's just watching this game, it's just like Dable, he's going for it. How many times can we live on fourth down? And it's just the aggressive play calling this. You know, right before the half, we have them, it's 3rd and 4. There's a minute left on the clock. They don't call a timeout. They let it go to fourth down. Then they call a timeout. They leave 29 seconds on the clock. They punt the ball and they take a knee. It's just, it's over and over again. And then the next series, they come out in the third quarter, they go for it on fourth down. They don't get it. And they're on our side of the field. It just seems like he's coaching for his job. And I just want to see better football and better play calling. And it's just sickening. We've only seen one touchdown as a
How about better execution? How about trying to, you know, get some momentum on your sideline? How about giving your quarterback a chance to throw the ball down the field and not connect over and over and over again?
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, man, the quarterback is the one who generates the entire offense. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is in the league. The rules are set up to be that way. You know, unfortunately, Daniel has a hard time. You know, some games he throws the ball well deep, and other games it completely looks like a different player.
Yeah, and play calling from watching the game on TV and watching the game from the stadium, whatever it may be. Like you made the point earlier on that 4th and 3, you know, he tries to jam the ball in there to Slayton, and it's a bad throw.
Him.
Right, it's a bad throw. And then also you had Wandale Robinson that was far more open than Darius Slayton.
I think that's who it was. I have to check.
Behind
I have to
go back him. Yes. So it's like, is that a play calling situation or is that a bad decision?
That's a bad decision, right. And it's bad play execution.
Right.
And now listen, the B.J. Hill where he gets hit and he throws the ball up and he says after the game, I was trying to throw the ball out of the end zone because he didn't want to take the sack.
Right.
Okay, I can respect that, and I can respect that as an explanation, but then my question would be, why didn't you just throw it to your running back in the flat? You had him right there.
Right. I mean, you're throwing it to the middle of the field while you're getting hit.
Yeah, it's a really tough situation he found himself in. And those are the plays. That play in particular will drive and has driven the hardcore Giant fan crazy. Crazy. Because those are the plays that are killing their drives and killing their momentum. So the coach tends to be like, hey, you know what? We got Joe Burrow over there. They're pretty good offensively. The best way we can play against them is to hold the ball, which we have done. When we win, we win the time of possession, and for the most part, they do that. And then yesterday, just didn't have an opportunity to make the plays when the plays showed themselves.
Conrad and Cherry Hill, what's going on, Conrad?
Oh, good morning, gentlemen. I am tired from last night. Was at the game and couldn't believe what I was seeing. Our defense pitched a shutout game, if that's what we're calling. And I know that, you know, the Bengals scored 17 points, but the 17 points that they scored really wasn't reflective of how the Giants defense was playing. And remember, gentlemen, a couple of weeks when I called, when there was a play where Dable, we were playing against the Cowboys, and we went for a field goal instead of going for the touchdown. And I'm going to be making a point that Dable did not trust his quarterback. That's the reason why he went for the field goal. And if you look at yesterday, it's exactly the reason why that he doesn't trust Jones, because of that intro. You know, the coach, I have no problem with the play calling yesterday. If we had a quarterback, a decent quarterback, we win that game yesterday. Daniel Jones has a habit of predetermining where he's going to go with the ball before he snaps, when the defense line up, you already know, okay, I'm going to go to Slayton, and there's no matter what happens with Slayton, he just automatically fires the ball to him. So to me, if we had a quarterback yesterday, the Giants win the game. There were plays that Jones were missing receivers that were wide open. And I'm like, I cannot believe what is he looking at. So the lack of consistency from Daniel Jones is what's causing us this season. When we looked at the schedule, we saw some games that we saw, okay, you know what, we were going to lose these games, right? The Bengals, I looked at it as a game that I thought we were going to automatically lose. But to come out last night and to see how that defense was performing without Thibodeau, and Azeez Ojulari had a phenomenal game with the pressures, with the sacks that he had. I mean, the Giants defense, I was extremely proud of what I was seeing yesterday. I'm like, can the offense just do one thing? So I have no problem with the way Daboll approached the game, the play calling. Our quarterback sucks, and Daniel Jones is not taking offense.
Yeah, listen, Conrad, you also got to remember, he's without his number one running back and number one receiver last night. That is a part of it. So if you're going to reference how well the Giants defense played without Kayvon Thibodeau, and you got to at least acknowledge the fact that Malik Nabers and Devin Singletary were not playing. So, I mean, these are... But you're right about Daniel Jones. He's not. You're never going to get to where you want to be with Daniel.
But he also knows that he doesn't trust his kicker.
Yeah,
that's the other thing you have to throw in here. And they had a backup punter. Now the punter's played in the league. It's not like he hasn't played in the league.
Right. He looked scared. Did you see when they put the camera on him before the game? He looked nervous, that punter.
All right.
He looked nervous.
So here's a play I'm talking about. This is the fourth down play.
Okay.
This is going to be the fourth down play. I'm going to show it to you here.
All right. I'm watching.
Yeah, you're watching. They're showing Greg Joseph because they're not bringing him out because he's already missed one field goal.
Right, this would have been.
So you're going to see this bunch group over here, and you're going to see motion come towards it right here. And just watch the second guy in the middle. This is the one he throws to Slayton. Right there.
Yeah.
He's and you could see he's frustrated because he doesn't get the ball.
Right. I mean, and there's a defender there, but there's three defenders on Slayton, and
yeah, but
he was open.
But that's the thing. Like, it's a very nitpicky thing, and you see that, you know, obviously Daniel thinks he's got to get rid of the ball quickly. He wants him to get the first down. He trusts Darius Slayton, and they have it set up. It's a perfect play call. It's a perfect play design. Where it looks like they're going to send a guy to the flat, he goes out and then comes back underneath while the shallow cross is coming across, and he's wide open. And it's amazing that, unfortunately, watch the top of the screen. Now, this is not the one that they're showing on CBS Sports Network. It's the fourth down later in the game, all the way, you know, right around the 3-minute
I think
mark,
it might have been the same play, by the way.
It could have
been the same play.
It could have been, but this was, I mean, this was a perfectly designed play, and I'm sure that watching the tape this morning, or I don't know if Brian Daboll watched it last night, just wondering about whether or not, you know, Daniel has the wherewithal to kind of see it unfold and have the patience to let it unfold and then hit the guy that's coming across open. He's clearly 2 yards away from the closest defender.
Yeah, and on that one that they showed, there was also Slayton was open on that play. I think he threw it to Robinson, and the ball got knocked down. So, I mean, there was two opportunities on fourth downs where he did not make the right read. Let's go to Sean in Poughkeepsie. What's going on, Sean?
Morning, boys. How you doing?
Good. All right, Sean, what's happening, Shawnee?
I got caught down that X rabbit hole yesterday with this DiVincenzo stuff.
Yeah.
So if you actually, yeah, there's a couple of accounts that say, like, oh, he says thanks for the trade, Tibbs, but he actually says, if you listen to it really close, he says, can't finish, huh, Tibbs? Can't finish, huh, Tibbs? And then I think Brunson's dad says something to him, and that's when he raps back at him saying, you know, this is why, you know, they let you in charge or whatever he said.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, I went to go look back at that exchange, and all that's left is that's what happens when you run the show. That's the only thing that's there. That original part where people thought he was saying thanks for the trade, I couldn't find. No. It seemed like that was scrubbed. So I don't know. It's definitely.
You think they're scrubbing his free speech?
I don't know. But thanks, Sean. Yeah, I'm not sure exactly. What I do know is that Dante DiVincenzo is pissed off that he got traded.
And he feels like he got shivved in the back.
Yes, exactly.
That's exact, because he felt like he gave his all last year to the team. Now, quite frankly, the team gave him an opportunity. He is now a starter for an NBA team that's a pretty damn good NBA team.
Yeah.
And he may get a huge contract if he has another huge year and the team goes far. Yeah, you know what? Because there's always going to be a need for a guy like Dante DiVincenzo.
Yeah, so this is... I'm telling you, so every post that had that beginning part of it has been deleted. So I'm serious. So like, I looked, the one that was sent to me yesterday, deleted. I look back, it's deleted. I thought he said thanks for the trade.
There's no way that X is deleting anything.
No, it's not X that's deleting it.
Well, of course
it's
not.
It's the account. This is what I think happened. There was a like Wolves fan account that put that out there.
Okay.
Everybody picked it up, and they transcribed it, thanks for the trade, Tibbs.
Why?
And hold on. And then after the game, Dante DiVincenzo said he didn't say that. So the Wolves fan account was like, oh, we should probably take this down because he said he didn't say it. We have it transcribed a different way. And now you can't get it.
All right, get John Boy on it. Just get John
Boy
on it.
But the video doesn't exist anymore.
I know John Boy is all, but he's got it somehow, believe me.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that... I know John Boy's all wrapped up into the Yankee stuff right now, but he could take a few minutes, find it, decipher it, and he can let us all know exactly what was said.
Yeah, I mean, either way, he wants to be here. Glenn, Orange County, what's going on, Glenn?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good, Glenn. What's up?
Not too much. I'm on my way to the dentist, which is going to be much more enjoyable than the Giant game last night.
Indeed.
I can't take Daboll anymore. I mean, I listened to the post game 10 times. He said, "That's on me. That's on me." Again, I understand Daniel Jones stinks. I understand that. But how many third and threes can we run the same play over and over and over again so we end up at fourth and two, fourth and three? It's just it's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. I can't stand it.
But you think that Daniel Jones stinks?
I do, but he's not calling the same running play on third and three every time they're in that situation. I understand he missed plenty of throws. I get that.
Oh.
And he's made a terrible decisions. I get that. But the coach is making just as many terrible decisions as he is.
I think he's
admitting it after the game.
He's taking pressure off his players. He's taking responsibility.
You know what it is? It's psychology 101. It's my fault. It's not their fault. Well, you know what? If he stood up there and said, you know what? If Daniel Jones would just hit the guy that we had open, he'd probably still be running to, like, you know, Newark.
Yeah, which is what he wants to say.
Which was,
can't.
And you know what? Like, maybe if you have his number, right?
I may.
And maybe you should text with him and see what he says. Like, you know how Salah gave it to Joe Benigno?
Yeah,
and
I'm sure.
You can get it from Brian Daboll?
Yeah, I'm sure. Brian Daboll is way too smart to be texting me
negative things
about his quarterback.
You know what he's going to say, and I know what he would say. And I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I'm going to now, and I will speculate. You know, if I just had a quarterback, everything would be fine.
If I had
Josh Allen, you're going to see him tonight. He's going to be at MetLife Stadium.
Yeah.
I'll be watching him closely because he was so much fun to coach.
Yep.
You know why? Because he made everybody better, and he made me better, and he got me this job.
I will tell you, Josh Allen's been playing terrible.
Well, the last 2 weeks it's been a little rough for him.
Ugh.
The first 3 weeks, he was awesome.
He was. He was MVP. I came on here and said that's the best player in football. So all due respect to Patrick Mahomes, the first 3 weeks, Josh Allen's playing better than anybody.
I think Lamar Jackson right now and Jared Goff are in that. Even Kirk Cousins is in that conversation for the quarterback position. And Joe Burrow is completing, you know, like 70% of his passes and running for touchdowns and throwing touchdowns. I mean, he's playing great, too.
Don't forget about Sam. He was on a bye. Let's not forget about Sam.
Oh, that's
Sam.
Right. They were on a bye. Yeah, when teams are on a bye, you kind of forget them.
Yeah, he's out there, number 14, slinging it.
And by the way, he can't be comeback player of the year.
Well, by the way, so they changed. He actually can't.
That's
because
right.
Because after Geno Smith won comeback player of the year without an injury,
yeah,
they changed the rules.
It was a joke. That's not what that wasn't the intent or spirit of the rule.
See, I disagree. It's comeback from anything. Comeback from sucking is a thing.
Well, he didn't suck in San Francisco. He didn't do anything.
No, but his entire career prior to that, he wasn't any good. He was discarded by multiple organizations. Same thing with Geno Smith, discarded by multiple organizations.
Yeah, but no injuries, didn't come back from like that kind of adversity where you have to.
He came back. Sam Darnold has come back from being a Jet.
You have to,
which is far worse than any ACL tear.
A Jet and a Panther.
Same thing with Geno Smith.
A Jet.
Both
and
those
a
guys came back from being Jets. I don't want to hear it. Pop your Achilles all you want. Try playing for the Jets.
But they ended up changing the rules to be what?
So it has to be an injury now.
Yeah.
Which is silly.
But no.
Which is
because,
silly.
No, because.
I thought he was still had an opportunity to win comeback player of the year.
So guys like Aaron Rodgers and Kirk Cousins have to be the odds-on favorite for now comeback player of the year because of what
they're coming back
from.
Aaron Rodgers is an odds-on favorite?
We're 5 weeks into the season.
He can't be an odds-on favorite.
I would say the two of them are, if they make it through 17 games, and I think both teams are going to make the playoffs. It's going to be a very, very difficult. Right now, Kirk Cousins is ahead of him because Kirk Cousins has played very well the last 3 weeks.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
By the way, are you going to the Columbus Day Parade today?
I am not going to go to the Columbus Day Parade today. I want to get back. It's very important that I nap this afternoon so I can be up and stay up for all the games. So if it weren't for all the busy sports, I'd be at the Columbus Day Parade, sure.
All right, I know you.
Celebrating my Italian heritage and maybe eating a sfugliadelle or some ravioli.
The thing about it is I have two Italians in here, and I feel like I want to hug you both.
Oh, thank you. We got another one in the control room as well.
Yeah, Eddie, but I'm talking about the guys that are closest to me.
Okay. I'll take a hug anytime you want.
There you go.
You know Connie Carberg, who tweets us sometimes? She was a Jet scout all those years ago, first female scout.
Yes.
They're actually making a Netflix documentary on her or something, so got an incredible story. But she tweets us all the time. She reminded me that Joe Flacco won it last year, so it was Geno Smith. Then Joe Flacco, and then they were like, we got to give it up to the injured guys again.
Right, okay.
So, like, why now all of a sudden?
They didn't want another ex-Jet quarterback.
Exactly right. It's insane. You leave the Jets, you would come back player of the year.
I think, Al, you put it on the show sheet. What does it actually say now? What are the rules actually state in regard to comeback player of the year?
It says, the who.
Huh.
The spirit of the award is to honor a player who has demonstrated resilience in the face of adversity by overcoming illness, physical injury, or other circumstances that led him to miss playing time the previous season.
Wouldn't it really have to be injury? Like, what else would you come back from?
Sucking.
Just general sucking?
Yeah.
This is why I don't understand. Like, every time I voted for this award, I'm no longer a voter anymore. Okay. Thank God. God, because you come with these decisions, and you're like, and I would always vote the comeback player of the year, a guy coming back from injury.
Okay.
Never a guy that, you know, just found himself in the middle of a season that all of a sudden had a great run and did not come off an injury from the year before.
What about mental injury from being with the Jets? That should count. It really should.
I go ahead and pencil in Zach Wilson for an award in a couple years.
I mean, it really is incredible. You think about it, Geno Smith, Joe Flacco, Sam Darnold. I mean, maybe that's Zach's only chance is to just ride that wave. I don't think he's going to be good anywhere, but maybe the CFL or something. I'll give him a shot. All right, Jerry, we got another update and moment of the day, huh?
Brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. Also brought to you by Jackpocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone with Jackpocket. We've heard a lot of the Met highlights so far this morning. I'll give you one that we haven't heard so far as they got shellacked by the Dodgers last night. Game one of the NLCS.
1-0. Line the other way, base hit going into left. Ohtani getting waved home. Nimmo's throw on the way. Here it is. It is late. Ohtani slides in feet first. Freeman jumps in with an RBI single. 6-0 Dodgers in the bottom of the fourth.
Yeah, even though he's basically playing with 1 foot, Freddie Freeman came through there. That was part of a 9-0 Dodger win. It was Mookie Betts that capped it with a 3-run double in the eighth. That was Keith Ratt on Mets Odyssey Radio as LA takes game one. Kodai Senga got the start again. We knew it would be a short start. Maybe he'd give you 3-4 innings. Or how about an inning and a third and not many strikes? He walked three guys in a row in the first, then did give up a two-run single to Max Muncy. Carlos Mendoza, what was going on there?
Hey, he was off. You know, he didn't have it. He didn't have the life on his fastball.
No, he didn't. He didn't have much at all, as a matter of fact. Were mechanics why the velocity was down? Senga through a translator.
Yes, I do think that is a big factor. But now I just need to reflect back on what happened today and make adjustments so I can have a better outing next time.
And remember last hour we played a couple of Evan Roberts' reactionary pieces? Well, I found another one for you. Frank the Tank has posted the way he felt about the game. Yes, so let me grab Frank the Tank for you. Now, keep in mind, Joe Davis does Dodger games. He is the Fox national broadcaster. That definitely rubbed Frank the wrong way. Eddie, keep a listen out just in case I missed a bleep here and there. I think I got them all.
That was a brutal, brutal game, but just game one. They better wake up. And Joe Davis,
you got 11 Dodgers. You got 11 Dodgers. I have never, this is the most annoying national TV announcer ever. I mean, he literally is like, I mean, he's got Dodgers, goddamn pom poms up there. And fabulous LA. Fabulous. I hate Joe Davis.
Okay.
Maybe yeah. Joe Davis can go on a Frank the Tank walk.
Maybe, and they can become lifelong friends.
Yes.
I feel like Joe Davis isn't going to walk out of that one.
You might be right. Anyhow, Jack Flaherty was really good. LA has thrown 33 consecutive scoreless innings, and you've got a bullpen game, it looks like, for them today in game two.
What a time for them to come around to playing their best baseball.
You're right. Well, you know, it's funny. I mean, the Padres were up 2-1 on them and had them on the ropes and couldn't finish the deal. So that's the way that goes. The Mets will throw Sean Manaea first pitch after 4 on Mets Odyssey Radio. Now, because Fox had the game, you also had the likes of Jeter and A-Rod. David Ortiz were there, part of the Fox pregame and postgame, and I believe this was after things wrapped up. You had the two ex-Yankees and Jeter and A-Rod kind of looking ahead to this Yankees series now where they play Cleveland in the ALCS. No pressure, none whatsoever. Let's go, Yanks.
You never want to say you never have an easy road to the World Series, but if the Yankees could pick and choose their opponents, I think they got the two that they would pick and choose because of the success that they've had against AL Central.
You don't have to say it. I'll say it. They have an easy road to the World Series.
It's not easy.
And look, it's never easy, right? But this is the clearest path in 20 years.
All right, so they...
20 years.
20, yes. They got rid of the Royals. Now they start tonight with the Guardians.
Yeah, I mean, the Tigers would have been an easier matchup than the Guardians, though.
I would think so, but who knows?
Hey, Guardians came close to beating them a couple years ago.
We'll see. Game one tonight on the Fan. First pitch, 7:37.
Yay!
Carlos Rodon faces Alex Cobb. Although this was interesting, Rodon was asked lessons learned from watching Garrett Cole pitch in Kansas City the other night.
He didn't react every inning. Like, if you watch him come out, it's just like a robot walking to the dugout. And then at the end of the seventh, it's a big roar. Because he knows, like, I did my job. And I think that's kind of one thing that resonated with me from that start.
We'll see if he can go longer than just a few innings tonight. And how about the day? I saw a fan posting somewhere, Twitter, Instagram, I don't know where it was, the day. So the Devils start at 1. You got the Mets at 4. You've got the Rangers at 7. You've got the Yankees at 7:35. You've got the Islanders at 9 and the Jets at 8:15 or 8:20. That's a hell of a day.
Yeah. Can't get any more jam-packed than that, right?
That is pretty damn good. One more. This is Anthony Volpe looking for a long run here.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I grew up a fan, so what makes the Yankees is winning and winning World Series. So for me, that was always the standard, at least from the outside. And then from getting drafted as an 18-year-old and coming up through the system and learning from the inside how they treat the players, I mean, it's first class for a reason, and all those reasons are to win.
There you go. Hear it all right here on The Fan later tonight. All right, we get to the NFL with the Giants Sunday night football. Bengals beat them 17-7. Joe Burrow, 208 yards passing. The 47-yard touchdown run in the first quarter really set the tone. Chase Brown adds a 30-yarder later in the fourth. The Giants offense didn't do a whole lot. They had 7 points. Here's Brian Daboll, the lack of production.
You know, I thought we had some opportunities, you know, throughout the game, you know, whether it be run, whether it be pass. You know, we turned the ball over down there, you know, on that drive, which was a good drive.
And that was the interception that Daniel Jones threw. What happened?
Trying to get the ball at the back of the end zone. Got hit. Got to throw it earlier or get the ball down.
Mm-hmm, and that didn't happen. Here was Aziz Ojulari. What did the D do? Because the Giants played quite well, actually, defensively. Aside from the big touchdown on Burrow had, they didn't give up much for much of this night.
Yeah, I feel like we executed the plan. We fell short. We left a lot of players out there for sure. When we go back and watch tomorrow, tonight, and we'll see what we can fix. Try to work on that for sure.
And that pass play that TV just showed to the left side, yes. I think it's the opposite of what you were saying with Ja'Marr Chase and Burrow when they hit it on the other side and he misses the guy wide open.
Yes.
Meaning Daniel Jones. Here was Burrow. Tough, gritty win.
They lead the league in sacks. They're the real deal, and they didn't even have one of their guys today. They got good games. They got good players. They make it tough on us.
Yeah, Brian Burns was all over the place, Dexter Lawrence as well, and yet the Bengals, who have not had a great season, they are now 2-4. The Giants 2-4 as well, taking on the Eagles on Sunday. You've got the Jets and the Bills tonight, Monday Night Football, to wrap up the week in the league. Some other stuff around the NFL. I mentioned the Giants playing the Eagles this week. Well, yesterday Philly did beat the Browns 20-16. You had the exchange with Nick Sirianni and the fans after the game. So what was that all about?
No, just excited. Just excited to get the win. Just excited to get the win. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to win in this league, so we're excited to get the win. Our fans created a couple false starts that really helped us win this football game.
Yes, and then I think I couldn't hear the question. I think he was answering the question as to why the critics and the booing from the fans and the slow starts bother him. I think that was the question.
Because y'all are making a big deal about it. I mean, is it like, guys, we're going to figure it out. We're going to fix it. We've known how to score in the past. Like, we get it. You guys have a job to do, and you're going to fixate on one thing, and you're going to be like, oh, they haven't started fast, or they haven't turned the ball over. Like, we got it.
This was all after a win. It was very interesting. And then also along the way, congratulations to your guy, Kenny Albert, his 500th game as Fox celebrated him with Jonathan Vilma in the booth.
A game ball and a cake. I mean, it's well-deserved. Who's done 500 games, Kenny? 531 years.
You have a fork?
Knife? I do. You know what? Oh, we could just go at it if we really wanted to.
They'd have to go at it. And that, I know he meant to say 500 games and 31 years, although it sounded like 531 years would be a long time.
Yes, yes, it would be.
So congratulations. I didn't realize he was doing that long. He was in his 20s, I guess, when he started, right? Pretty wild. The Chargers beat the Broncos
like
20.
Noah Eagle. He was the...
Yeah, starting very early. Yeah. The Chargers beat the Broncos. Along the way, Jim Harbaugh had to leave the sidelines. His atrial flutter came back, and he had to go get checked out medically.
A game ball.
No, that's not it.
Yeah, everything ended up turned out to be okay. I deal with this, I guess, minor, it's called atrial flutter. And I got into an episode today with it. And then doctors checked me out, and it got back into sinus rhythm, normal rhythm. So came back.
Looking into this, it says the heart beats between 250 to 300 times a minute. When this
Jesus
happens.
Christ. Well, I mean, that's
nuts.
I
isn't
think
it?
Being a football coach with that problem probably doesn't coincide very well.
Yeah. That's a rough one.
Anything like heart related, I always start grabbing my chest every time someone talks about a heart thing.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing now. That's just a natural reaction.
Scary stuff, no doubt. Steelers beat the Raiders in Vegas. That having been said, Justin Fields, did it sound like a home game? Because, boy, there were a lot of Steeler fans there.
It did. You know, I'm looking at the Raiders offense. They're going on silent cadence. So, you know, I'm not surprised. I saw something on social media earlier this week saying that, you know, I think we bought like 50% of the tickets. So, big shout out to Steeler Nation for showing up big for us and coming to support us.
Did silent count in your own building?
Yeah, I mean, that's what happens when your team stinks and you got a franchise like that coming into your building. I mean, there's a handful of them that would do the same thing. Steelers fans are everywhere. They actually also do travel. And look at that scene right there. Yeah.
Here's Antonio Pierce. Was it odd to have so many Steelers fans there?
No. I mean, we got noise at every practice, so that didn't bother us. I mean, we appreciate all Raider Nation showing up.
At least the ones that did, anyhow.
Right. I'd like to name them. Tom, Dave, Fred.
Preseason basketball. Knicks beat the T-Wolves 115-110. You guys discussed the Dante DiVincenzo situation. Devils, Utah won. Rangers, Red Wings at 7. That would be cool if the Giants skated. And the Islanders are in Colorado at 9. And the Liberty beat the Lynx 80-66 to even up the WNBA Finals at 1-1. Time now for Moment of the Day, brought to you by the family of Casamigos Tequilas. Añejo, Blanco, Cristalino, Reposado, Mezcal, and the new Casamigos Jalapeno. Casamigos Tequila, brought to you by those who drink it, reminding you to enjoy each moment of your day responsibly. As if the Cowboys' loss wasn't bad enough for their fans, it got even worse for another, as G told us.
There's a viral video from the game yesterday in the stands of a female Cowboys fan wearing a Cowboys jersey throwing up.
On all fours.
On all fours. Throwing up like on you know,
on the promenade. She's not even in the bathroom,
right? And her boyfriend is holding her hair up as she's puking. And the best part about it is there's a guy in a Lions David Montgomery jersey that walks by her while she's puking, doing the gritty. It is unbelievable.
Nothing says NFL 2024 kind of like that.
Oh, it is all the elements right there. All the elements.
How embarrassing.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
There you go.
Moment of the day. And speaking of viral videos, I saw one. I don't know if it's, I think it's real, where you've got a guy in a Ravens jersey walking around Baltimore kicking the crap out of people in Washington jerseys. I don't know if it's real or not, but it is freaky looking.
I mean, just doing it on its own?
Just walking up. If you're in a Washington jersey, he just starts pounding the crap out of you.
Well, I think they got to arrest that guy and put him in jail, right?
I would certainly hope so.
Or put him in for a day and then let him out.
They got the same laws down there?
Probably.
No, crazy stuff.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I found that video, the Dante DiVincenzo full video from the foul line, and you cannot convince me otherwise that he does not say thanks for the trade, Tibbs. Now, he can make up whatever he wants. And
in a condescending manner.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. Like, yeah, thanks for the trade, Tibbs. Yeah, 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 okay. Yeah, that's what happens. I'll let you run the show. There's no two ways about it. They even had audio that was slowed down and enhanced. So that's what he said, and that's fine. I don't blame him for it at all. I like the fact that he wanted to be here. That's the type of personality that he is. And it's unfortunate that, you know, it ended the way that it did, and you got Dante DiVincenzo with a chip on his shoulder. And I hope they do well. I really do. I hope that Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo do really well out there in Minnesota, unless they meet the Knicks in the finals, and
right.
It's a different story.
You know, the thing about for Dante that's going to be an awesome opportunity for him is, you know, he can now showcase his skills in a different city, on a different team, and everybody's going to want a three-point shooter, just like he is, just like what he did for the Knicks. Maybe someday the Knicks get him back. I don't know. But I think they're thinking this Kolek kid could be the next Dante DiVincenzo. Maybe not this year, maybe another year from now, but who knows? I mean, the kid looks, he was great in the summer league, and it looks like he knows exactly what he's doing on the basketball court. And I understand, like Dante, they gave you a chance, and now you have a lifetime chance to get life-changing money, generational cash if you have a great year with Minnesota.
Yeah, as a starter, too.
And by the way, you know, I would also look at it from, you know, they're not getting Karl Anthony Towns unless I'm in the trade going back.
Right.
Like, they had to give up something to get something, because I think Julius Randle, you know, he's got a year left on his contract. Minnesota had to do some financial restructuring because, you know, of Karl Anthony Towns' contract and who else they're paying on that team, Rudy Gobert and the Ant-Man. So, I mean, I understand his initial emotional reaction to it, but at the end of the day, it's going to be good for him, and it certainly should be good for the Knicks.
WFAN employee Pat Boyle, who you've probably heard of on this show occasionally. He's the guy that introduced himself by sleeping in Boomer's office and drinking a beer out of his fridge and then leaving a note. He has become a great asset here at WFAN. He came in one of the breaks. And by the way, he worked last night and slept here and is working this morning. So that work ethic of his is just the best. But he came in here this morning, he opened the door, and he said that he was going to go to California Cryobank on Wednesday. So he is donating his sperm to California Cryobank on Wednesday. So these live reads have hit him, and he's going to get maybe up to $1,500 a month donating his sperm.
You know, when I think about guys around here, you know, that have high testosterone levels and fit what the California Cryobank are looking for.
19 to 38 healthy.
Yeah. That's him.
It is him.
I mean, he is like a junior Brandon Tierney.
He is.
You know, like with that man stuff, which is, you know, something I could certainly appreciate.
Oh, without a doubt.
And, you know, we need more of that in today's world. There's no question about it.
Yeah, I just want to make sure he's not doing it just for us to get into our good graces, because that's, you know, it's a serious decision.
Like, what are we going to do for him?
Well, I don't...
You know, I mean, well, we like him, and we involve him in different things. We think he's a maniac, and we think that he's got a future in this business for sure.
Yeah, but I mean, he wants to be in our good graces. I think everybody around here wants to be in our good graces.
I don't think about that. I just think, do your job, and you'll be in our good graces. And you just talked about his work ethic.
Yeah, no, it's great. I just hope that he's not doing this because we're doing the reads and
he's
like
making
wants to be a part of the show and us talking about it. You know, I don't want him with like 50 kids out there running around just because he wanted us to like him more.
Listen, timeout.
What? I'm just saying it's a possibility.
We're asking him to be a sex worker.
We're not asking him to do this either.
No, I know that. I'm not asking, but I'm just saying, like, to me, $1,500 at that age, single, why not?
Yeah. There's another side to it. I mean, you got to know what you're getting into. But people who donate or know everything that's going on and what will be out there potentially in
years
to
come. It'd be fine.
But it's also something like, I guess he's in his 30s now, though. So it's not like he's like 22 and doing this.
He's a freaking adult.
I know.
Can make his own decisions. We didn't tell him to do this.
No, of course not. I know. I'm just making that clear. I just don't want him to feel like we influence that. And then he's like, then all of a sudden.
He may come in here with a huge smile on his face to, you know, give us a lowdown on what happened.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think
there's
always
a positive side to it.
I mean, I think we know what's going to happen.
He's getting 1,500 clams.
Right. He's going to go in there. He's going to spank it. And he's going to get $1,500. And that's the end of it. Then they're going to use that potentially. But the second they throw his picture up there, you know someone's going to pick him.
So the point, like, he's probably doing that for free now.
Well, all of us are, I would think. Most of us, at least. But I mean, but it's not as if you're just donating it and it's not doing anything. You know what I'm saying? Not just donating it to go up shelf somewhere.
But his bank account's growing.
It's true. Listen, it's a choice that he's making. It's fine. But you act as if there's, like, zero, like it's just, like, spank and move on. That's not
that's what he's going to be doing. That's the end of it. Spank and move on.
But I wonder, like, the rules. I'd like to talk to the California Cryobank people. Like, if someone wants to know who their father is, are they allowed to go and find who their father is?
I don't think so. That's the thing. Unless the father has no problem with it.
Maybe he's like a consent thing. Like, hey, do you want, you know, if you have a kid, you want him to be able to find you.
That's probably wouldn't that be not up to the people who use
no, sperm? It's got to be up to him. I know, like, I think you go in there and you're, I think they take your picture, right?
That's what I was told. That the people, you know, they pick from the pictures so they see what they're getting.
As long as he doesn't wear his glasses, I think he's fine.
You know, those creepy Jeffrey Dahmer glasses.
Yes.
Looks like he's throwing human liver into a frying pan when he wears those things.
Or they don't take a look at his footwear today.
I didn't notice that. What is it?
Flip-flops with socks on.
Oh, come on.
Well, he did spend the night here last night, so this is kind of like his Shangri-La.
I mean,
all we need him now is to be walking around here in a robe and taking a bird bath like Evan used to do in the bathroom.
Or practicing.
Oh, God. Think anybody's done that in this building?
100%.
God, yes.
You think somebody... Really?
There's some freakazoids.
I mean, I know that. I know there's been sex in here, but I didn't know if like there's actually been spank time.
Think about who works here. It's a lot of young dudes.
Yeah, but you got a million different places to do that other than at work. I mean, someone honestly couldn't help themselves. You'd have to be sick in the head.
Maybe it is a one of those fetish things. Like, you know, I go to work and I do it, and it's really exciting. I don't know.
Oh, God.
Oh, maybe Chernoffel's catch me. Oh, no. Oh, is that, are you doing what I think you're doing? Oh, my God. Oh. Oh, no. Oh, no. Pull your pants up. Oh, my God. Wash your hands. Oh, you're an animal. You're a disgusting pig. Oh. You're not going to believe this.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.